Ephesians chapter 5. And if you look with me in verse number 10, we'll start reading there. We'll actually just read through these verses, kind of get us back up to speed, and then give you the message tonight out of these verses here. But in Ephesians 5, verse 10, he says, or actually back up to verse number 8, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And so we're looking here through this passage. We've been going through this chapter. The first part, he talked about walking in love, the first few several verses of the chapter, and then shifts into walking in light. And that's what we started preaching on Sunday night, kind of the first verse or first couple verses in this passage, this section of verses here, dealing with walking in light. And as we're looking at walking in light, that's really the difference in the saved and the lost, is the light. And I don't know about you, but I remember the day, I remember the time in my life when I was lost and I was walking in darkness. And I thank the Lord that I've now passed from that darkness into the light. And that's a blessing. Now, there's so much that really could be said about light, but one thing about walking in light, and one of the things I think that he's talking about, what God's telling us here whenever he makes that statement, talking about walking in light and walking as children of the light, it's dealing with walking in the light as walking openly before God and men. I remember that being one of the things, and that's one of the part of being lost is always walking in the cover of darkness and always having something in your life that you're covering. But see, whenever we get saved, we are walking in light, and so dealing with the flesh, that's why he's making the command to his people to continue walking in the light. You know why some Christians are so miserable in their spiritual life? Because they're not walking in the light. Because they've got things in their life that they've got to hide. They've got things in their life. That's why they don't have any victory, because they're not walking in light. Now, walking in light has several different applications. And, of course, it deals with the light of the gospel. You know, as we walk in the light, we let our light so shine before men, all those things. But one of the big parts of walking in light is having a clean conscience, walking in light before God and before men, having nothing to hide in our life. And I tell you, until you've experienced that, you don't know how good it feels to be able to pillow your head at night and live your day-to-day life with nothing to hide, not concerned about the rug being jerked out from under you at some point, not being worried about what's going to be exposed about you. Now, we all know that we all have things that probably we would hang our head in shame if they were known about us. We're all humans, and we all have things that would disappoint us, but whenever we walk in light as the Lord have us, the truth is, I mean, we have nothing to hide before the world. We have nothing to hide before man. We may have things in our past before we were saved and all that stuff, but whenever we're walking as God wants us to, listen, you can walk with a clean, clear conscience, and that feels good. It feels really good. Charles Spurgeon, when asked by another man for permission to write his life story, replied to that man. He said, "You may write my life in the skies. I have nothing to hide," is what he said. Amen. And that's right. That's walking in the light. That's walking as a child of light, that you have nothing to hide. And I've heard a lot of preachers, and I'm not saying this about anybody here or anything like that. I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, you probably heard a lot of preachers talk about the ministry and pastoring, how lonely of a life it can be. And you want to know one reason why that is? Because people flee the light. And the majority of church people in the average church in America have so many things going on in their life and their family that they know is not right. Well, they don't want to hang around their pastor all the time. They don't want to have him over. They don't want to go out to eat with him. They don't want to do things like that. There's a separation there because of that light that's available.
And that light that's being shined, and they hear him preach, and they hear the word of God preached, and they don't do what it says, and so it's kind of just that light there. And so, you know what I'm saying? And that's just the way people are, both saved and lost. The lost are that way towards the light of the gospel, and saved people are that way whenever we are not walking the way God would have us walk. And so not walking in light, walking in darkness, it brings shame and all those things. But having a clear conscience before God, it is a blessing and it's refreshing. And only the Lord can do that for us. And if you've ever had that, boy, that's one thing that makes being saved so wonderful. Because you can walk in the light with nothing to hide. And that's a great thing. It's kind of like whenever you go through an airport and you surrender your luggage to go through, pass through that machine and all, and they inspect your luggage. I mean, if you're not carrying anything you're not supposed to carry, I mean, it don't bother you, you know? And matter of fact, you actually, from one perspective, probably most of us, if we're going to fly, we're kind of glad to surrender those things, because hoping that they would catch an explosive in somebody else's bag, you know, or something like that. But if I've got nothing to hide, it doesn't bother me, you know. But thank the Lord for it, because it keeps someone else from taking a bomb on a plane or a gun or a knife on a plane or something like that. And the same is true in our life. Listen, we have nothing to fear before God if we're not harboring any sin. We don't have anything covered. And you know, that doesn't bother. That doesn't scare us. That doesn't concern us. Matter of fact, it feels good to know that the light is there. And so we are looking at walking in light. Verse 8, we looked at that Sunday night, at the direct command there, the precept. And it involves, of course, three things. It involves darkness. That command to walk as children of light, it involves darkness. Until someone's been in darkness, they've never come into the light. That's just like until someone's been unrighteous, they've never been made righteous. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so it starts with darkness. We were all in darkness. And we were just as much darkness as every other wicked sinner out there. But then that darkness led to the Lord work that deliverance in our life. He said, you were darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Amen. And so thank the Lord for the deliverance from the darkness. And that deliverance caused a difference. The difference is walk as children of light. Since He's delivered us, we should walk like we've been delivered. And so thank the Lord for that. Verse 9, we really see the power. He just really makes a parenthetical statement dealing with what really the power that allows us to walk as children of light, and that is the Holy Ghost. And so the sweet Spirit of God indwelling us, giving us the power to walk as children of light. If you want to read the first sentence, really, in this passage, it's verse 8 and it's verse 10. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 9 is just a parenthetical statement that he threw in there that just assumes that they all know that they're indwelt by the Holy Spirit when they get saved. Because he doesn't say it, he just assumes that they know it by saying, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so that power is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will produce the fruit of goodness, the fruit of righteousness, and the fruit of truth. And I say thank God for it. I could never do these things before I was saved. And you couldn't either. And you can't now if you are saved. We try to work it up as much as we want to, but until the Holy Spirit is there giving us the power to do these things, we'll never walk as children of light. Amen? And so we've seen the command, the precept, the power. Tonight in verse number 10, notice the proving that takes place. Now again, verse 10 is part of the first sentence in this passage. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now that word proving, that means testing. Or examining. It means trying, establishing. It means to validate or to verify something. And so all those things apply to proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, by proving, by walking as children of the light. Really, God is saying the things that are acceptable to the Lord in your life. If you will walk as children of light, you what's really being a witness is all about. We can preach all we want to, but until we're walking as children, we can get hyped up in a church. It's amazing that really we can live anyway. I'm talking about all of us. Anyway out there and come in here and have just as much of a hyped up service. Nothing about the faithfulness of God out there. We can talk about walking by faith and proving the things of God and seeing God always be faithful and God always honoring His Word. We can talk about all that stuff and not know anything about it out there. Isn't that amazing? Because we've got those promises in the Bible. We know what God's told us He will do. But until we actually walk as children of light, we're not proving what is acceptable to the Lord. We're not trying it. We're not verifying it. See, the more you and I walk by faith, the more we obey the Word of God, the more we walk in obedience as children of light with nothing to hide in our life, the more we will verify and establish the truths and the principles of the Word of God in our life. The deeper those roots will get in our life. And so he says, and that's directly off of verse number 8, whenever he makes the command. He says, walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so that's directly off of that command. And so by proving these things, by testing and trying and establishing and validating the things of God, by walking as children of light, by proving that stuff, you can know for certain what the will of God is. You realize the Lord is not hiding His will from anybody? If we will prove the things that He's taught, if we will try them and verify them and live by them as in our life, we will walk by them. He is ready to make known His will to us. God's not hiding His will. His will is not some big mystery. The only person that God's will is a mystery to is somebody that's not in God's will. And God's will has very little to do with Him having, seeing this big map in the sky or hearing a voice or anything like that, or having some revelation where you're sitting at a church service and some preacher preaches a message or says something and just like, boom, it hits y'all at once. It has very little to do with that. It has more to do with whether or not you and I are choosing to be in His will. The only ones that don't know about God's will are the ones that are not living in God's will. You say, well, I don't know what God's will is for me for tomorrow or next week or next year. Well, are you doing His will today? That's the question. Are you doing what you know to do today? And so if you will prove these things, if you will prove what is acceptable to the Lord, that's what His will is all about. That is His will. What is acceptable unto the Lord? That's the Lord's will. That's what that statement means. What is acceptable to the Lord is the same exact thing as what is the Lord's will. It's just like in Romans 12. Look over in Romans 12. I know y'all know this verse, but look at Romans 12. If you don't have it underlined, you need to underscore this verse and memorize this verse in your memorize this verse. Romans 12 and look in verse 2. We all know these verses. Be not conformed to this world. Okay, so that's the proving part. Proving the things of God. What? Be not conformed to the world is the proving part. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove, there's our word again, what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. Except he uses the word acceptable. Well, it's the same word he uses over here. What is acceptable unto the Lord. And so, as we walk as children of light, as we prove God to be faithful, prove His Word to be faithful, as we do what He tells us to do, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And God has never, He's never left me empty-handed concerning His will, whenever I just did His will. And that's been the same for you as well. You've never done God's will only to find out that at the end of it all, you didn't know God's will. Y'all with me? It's not about getting having a dream or having a vision. It's about just doing God's will. And if you'll be in God's will, you'll know God's will. If you'll prove these things, you'll understand what is acceptable unto the Lord. And that's what it's all about. See, this is so exciting for us. And we really are, we're not near as fired up as we should be about this, because there was a time in our life when we could not prove anything acceptable unto the Lord in our life. We couldn't even pray. I mean, we were separated from God. He says in the very same book that we're studying and preaching through regarding being dead in trespasses and sins. And that was us, talking about the darkness. That was us, and we couldn't prove anything acceptable unto the Lord in our life. We couldn't do anything that was acceptable for God in our life. But because of Christ and because of Him seeking us out, and because of Him, we passed from death unto life. And when we were dead in trespasses and sins, He quickened us and made us alive and took us out of darkness. And matter of fact, took us from the darkness that we were, the darkness that we embodied, and made us light in the Lord. Therefore, now we can prove something and know what is acceptable unto the Lord. There is nothing better in life than pleasing the Lord. The world, the flesh, the devil, all three of them will work together to make all of even us and the world out there make it seem like the most miserable life you can live is the life lived for the Lord. But I can testify firsthand in my own life and on the authority of the Word of God that there is nothing better, more satisfying, more fulfilling, will bring more joy and peace and all the good things in life. Nothing will bring more of all that than pleasing God, than doing what is acceptable to the Lord. And there was a time when we couldn't do that, but we can now because we're saved by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. That's why we've got something good to tell the world. That's why we can go down to the jail and tell the guys, there's something more than this. There's something beyond all this. There's a life that you can live better than this. That's why we can tell those that we work with and our families and all of that. That's why we can stand and be a witness and walk as children of light without fear, without favor, because there's something better than what all of they have out there. That doesn't make us better than them. I'll tell you what, the Lord that we have is better than the Lord that they have. Amen. And so there's a proving, and I thank God for that proving, because there was a time we couldn't prove. We couldn't prove anything. We couldn't prove what it was acceptable in the Lord. But now that we are children of light, now that we are light in the Lord, we even have the possibility to prove it. Therefore, boy, He's worthy. We ought to walk as children of light. We ought to, because He's worthy. So there's the proving. And then in verse 11, there is a prohibiting. Now all this goes along with it. The proving is the positive side of it. You're proving, you're actively proving what is acceptable to the Lord. You're walking as a child of light, and the world sees it, and you see God working in your life, and you see the Word of God, and you're doing those things. And that's proving. By the way, whenever you prove it, whenever you verify it, establish it, and test it, you'll always find God faithful every time. And that's the positive side of it. But then there's the negative side. There's not just the proving, but the prohibiting. Now, you can't have the proving without the prohibiting. You can't prove God faithful in your life without prohibiting the world out of your life. Look at what he says in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Let me ask you a question. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. How much fellowship is no fellowship? None. At all. Not any at all. Zero. Zero with a ring around it. None at all. No fellowship. He didn't say a little bit of fellowship. He didn't say limit your fellowship. He said have no fellowship. You say, well, Jacob, that means we're supposed to dig a hole somewhere and build a compound. And you know, no, that's not what it means at all. Because there's a difference in being a friend to the world and being a friend to a sinner, being a friend to somebody. There's a difference in trying to reach somebody, and there's a difference in that and fellowshipping with somebody. There's a difference in being in this world and not of this world. There's a difference in simply being in the world as lights and as ambassadors for Christ. There's a difference in that and fellowshipping with the world. That fellowship involves embrace. Indulging, that's right. Embrace and indulging. And we talked about in Corinthians Sunday on that yoking with. When you're fellowshipping with somebody or something, you are yoking up with them. You are embracing them into your life. And so there is a big difference. But he says have no fellowship. That's none at all. That is, there's no lost person out there that you ought to embrace as one of your closest friends. There's no unfruitful work of darkness that you should embrace and hold close to your heart. That's one of our biggest problems now. It's because that's why we have, you know, the struggles and the battles we have within the church now has a lot to do with the unfruitful works of darkness that people are fellowshipping, that God's people, at least they claim to be God's people, are fellowshipping with. It's not like they have just some involvement and they do it every now and then. No, they're fellowshipping with it. It's what they live for. It's what has their heart. It's what they've embraced. And so he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, separation and holiness, again, I realize this is kind of the, in a sense, it's the negative aspect of it, but it's really not. I mean, in a sense, again, you got to have a positive and negative. The proving is the positive, and then the prohibiting is the negative. But really, the truth is, I know we preach this in a negative sense, and rightfully so. We preach the negative side so much, you know, live clean, live holy, repent, get right with God, all those things. But we forget that separation and holy living, living holy, holiness unto the Lord is one of the greatest assets of God's people. It's one of the greatest blessings of being a child of God is the ability to live clean and live holy and live separated. Like there seems to be so much carnality that it's attacked all the time as something that's so bad and so evil and so wicked and so ugly. And it is. But lest we forget that there's not just the ugly and bad and wicked and vile part of sin. There's also the beautiful and joyous and peaceful and wonderful and light part of living clean and holy. Listen, one of the greatest blessings of being saved, whenever I got saved that night as a 19-year-old boy, one of the greatest blessings in it all was being able to wake up the next morning. Well, first of all, being able to pillow my head that night, being clean and free and at peace and having joy, but then being able to wake up the next morning and go about my life and not being enslaved to the sin I was enslaved to anymore. Finally, being able to get past some of that stuff and have victory over some of those things and not being so weighed down by the cares of the world and my pride and all those things, being able just to give it to the Lord and letting the Lord change my life. That was one of the greatest blessings. And even in this day, in this wicked day, as you know, our morals are at an all-time low, holiness unto the Lord and separated living is still one of the greatest assets and powers of the church and of God's people. Amen. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. I mean, the way we even hear it preached sometimes, it can almost make it seem like that's not a blessing. You know, that's what the devil does. He twists that thing around like you know, you get saved, you got to give up all this stuff. Praise God, we get to give up all this stuff. Praise God, we can finally put down some of this stuff that's wrecking our lives and making us miserable on the inside. Amen. And so there's a prohibiting that takes place because we are children of light. And so he makes the command, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And listen, the key word in that is unfruitful. Unfruitful. See, we can forget that it's a blessing. And the reason why is because we can live holy now. Before we were saved, we couldn't. And if you're to say, if you're not, and you're not saved, you can't. You might can last, work it up for a little while, but at the end of the day, you can't really produce a holy life. You just can't do it. It's an impossibility. And so it's a blessing because we can live holy. We can throw off the unfruitful works of darkness. We used to couldn't. And then it's also a blessing because we can be fruitful. See, again, the key word in that phrase, the unfruitful works of darkness, the key word in my mind anyways, is unfruitful. Because see, here's the thing. Sin is unfruitful. You know what the Bible says about transgression and transgressors? It says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. It is. It's hard living. Hard living. Well, I tell you, you take folks that have lived for themselves and lived in the world and lived wicked lives. Boy, it ages them, man. It puts years on them. I mean, the statement that people make talking about someone being all used up. I mean, that's a pretty good statement whenever you look at somebody who's been out in the world. I mean, the world has taken them, and it has used them up, man. It's taken the best of them, the best of their life, the best of their youth, the best of their energy, the best of their talents and their God-given abilities. I mean, it's taken all those things, and at the end of the day, it is unfruitful. It'll not produce anything. Unfruitful is the key word. See, sinners really will have no fruit at the end of this life. There will really be nothing to speak of. Someone may even live a successful life. May have a good job and have a 401k and a good retirement and may even have a degree of security and a degree of a good family, you know, things like that. I mean, you know, there are some people that God's blessed with worldly wisdom that kind of hold their lives together for the most part out in the world. I mean, we see that. But at the end of the day, when their life is over, they have no real fruit. Not in this life. Everything they earned, everything they heaped up, all that retirement and the good, all that stuff, you know what's going to happen whenever they're gone? It's going to go to somebody else and they're going to squander it. They're going to squander it. And so they'll have no real fruit in this life. They'll have no fruit in eternity. That's the worst part. The worst part is no fruit in eternity. Because the works of darkness are unfruitful. They're unfruitful. Now, we just sang that song right before prayer and then preaching. Working. Working. Work until Jesus comes. Working, for the night is coming. You know why we're working? We're working that we might have fruit. We're working that we might have rewards. We're not working to build everything up on this life. And if God can bless us with good things in this life, and He does, thank the Lord for it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I live a pretty comfortable life. I mean, especially considering the way most people are living around the world. I was watching a thing just the other day. It was actually when I was studying to preach in the jail last night. Preached on salt last night. You're the salt of the earth. And I was doing some research on the oceans and the purifying element of the oceans. You know, the salt water in the ocean purifies the world. If the oceans were not salt water, no life could survive on planet Earth without salt in the ocean, the saline aspect of the oceans. And I forgot where I was going with that. I totally just forgot where I was going with that. I have no idea where I was going with that. Anyway, where was I going with that? I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea where I was going with that. I have no idea. Anyways, at the end of this life, though, man, I was trying to come back to you, man. I can't get it. At the end of this life, though, sinners will have no fruit. Oh, I know what I was going to say. We are working in this life. We are working in this life for fruit over there. For fruit in eternity. that we might have rewards, that we might have fruit. I still don't know how this ties in with the ocean, but either way, that's where I was at whenever I started on that. So we're getting back to it right here. This life, I mean, thank the Lord that we have good things. I know where I was going. I know. It came back to me. I was studying that, and in studying that, I found out that 70%, I believe that's what they said, the thing I was reading. If I'm not mistaken, it said close to 70% of the world's population does not have access, constant access, to clean drinking water. Talking about constant, regular access. When you think about all the people in the world, most people, and even if this, I'm pretty sure that was what they said, but even if it's not that high, the fact is we live better than most people ever could ever think about living. They could ever think about living. God's been good to us. And thank the Lord He has been good to us. We're spoiled to death by how good God's been to us. But at the end of the day, this life is not what it's all about. We're not working to lay up treasures here. We're working that we might have fruit over there. Because anything that we do, any work of darkness that we do here, any work of darkness that we fellowship with here, it's going to be unfruitful. It does not produce anything. And being that we are light, being that we were darkness, but now we're light in the Lord, boy, that is so beneath a child of God to be unfruitful. Be unfruitful. I talked about this, I think, some Sunday, talking about, you know, living for baseball growing up and all that stuff. You know where all those trophies and all those awards and all that stuff is right now? You know where all that stuff is? All the gold gloves, all the MVPs. And by the way, I did win that stuff. I did win MVPs on all-star teams, and I did win gold glove awards, and I did win, silver slugger awards and things like that. I did win that stuff. You want to know where that stuff is right now? I don't know. I ain't got no idea. I have no idea where those trophies are. I have no idea where those awards are. I have no idea. And you know where it's going to be when at the end of my life? Who knows? Who cares? Who cares? You want to know why? Unfruitful works of darkness. Not that there's anything wrong with playing ball. Not that there's anything wrong with doing things that don't necessarily lay up treasures in heaven. The difference is fellowshipping with those things. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because at the end of this life, it is not going to matter. They are unfruitful works. They're unfruitful. And boy, as God's people, if there's one thing we ought to be with all Jesus has provided us, it ought to be fruitful. We ought to be producing fruit, the fruit of righteousness and goodness and truth in our life. And so the prohibiting in our life, again, it's the negative aspect of it, and I get it, but the prohibiting, you know what it really is? It really is a providing. The prohibiting is really a providing. Whenever you prohibit your child from playing in a busy street, you're prohibiting, but you're providing safety. And you're providing wisdom that they don't have as a child. And you're providing some longevity in their life that they wouldn't have if that prohibiting was not there. You know what God's doing in our life? Whenever He prohibits the fellowship of unfruitful works of darkness, whenever He prohibits us from various different sins, and you know, whenever He put all those thou shalt nots in place with the Ten Commandments, all those things, all those prohibitions in the Bible for us and for mankind, you know what that is? What it really is, it's a provision. It's God providing for us. And this prohibition, Him prohibiting the fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, what God's trying to do in commanding that, He's trying to help provide fruit in our life. He's trying to get us to He's trying to provide things that would be a blessing to us, rather than things that we'll look back down the road and just say, well, you know, kind of a waste of time, really, you know. Because at the end of the day, any unfruitful work of darkness is just that. It's unfruitful. It's a waste of time. So there's the prohibiting. Then last of all, very quickly, there's the prosecuting. He said in verse 11, he said, reprove them. have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of arms, but rather reprove them. And then verse 12, he said, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now this prosecution, he's calling us to prosecute, not even just having no fellowship with it. He actually calls us to prosecute it. That's right, reprove, prosecute the unfruitful works of darkness. And so not dabble in it, not limit your time with it, but actually prosecute it. Reprove it. Stand against it. And so there's two things involved in that. First of all, there's the character of the prosecution. He says, reprove them in verse 11. Now, that word reprove means to tell a fault. That is, you speak, you tell where there's a fault at. You let them know, this is where you're missing. You tell them, this is your fault. This is where you're missing it. So it means tell a fault. Rebuke means to excite a sense of guilt. Well, we've missed it in that thing. We're so scared of making somebody feel guilty around us. We don't want people to feel bad. We don't want people to feel guilty. Listen, that's what reproof is. And until you felt guilty about your condition, you never did anything to do anything about your condition of sin and being lost until you first felt the guilt and the condemnation of it. And so it means to excite a sense of guilt. It means this. It means to manifest silent disapproval is another definition. All these are various different definitions of the word, but they all mean the same. They're all for reproof. But I thought that was interesting, to manifest silent disapproval. Now, we stand against sin, stand against worldliness and all those things, but it's not always what we're preaching and what we're saying. Sometimes it's what we're not saying, what we refuse to say. Sometimes it's not what we're doing, it's what we refuse to do. Sometimes it's what we refuse to go along with. Sometimes it's just being silent. You know, that can put more conviction in people's hearts sometimes than actually saying something. Because here's the thing, man. Whenever we are walking as children of light and we're walking before God and man openly with nothing to hide, well, we're not involved in sin. And we're not going to get involved with sin. In fact, sin grieves us. Our problem, we're kind of like Lot. We've been around it for so long, it don't bother us anymore. But we get right with God and start walking as children of light, it'll start grieving us, and we won't laugh at it. Yeah, that's right. That's where we are. But we walk as children of light, we won't laugh at it. We won't think it's a joke. We won't think it's funny. There's a lot of things I do think funny, but sin's not one of them. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And when the world will take notice of that. They'll take notice of the things that you laugh at and the things you don't laugh at. They'll take notice of the things you take lightly and the things you don't take lightly. They take notice of those things. And so sometimes it's not necessarily the message you preach. It's the message you don't preach. It's the message you preach with your lifestyle, what you refuse to go along with. That's reproof is what it is. And so the Lord said, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of God. No, go a step further. Reprove that stuff. Reprove it. And to reprove, really in the literal sense of the word, reprove is to convince and convict and change. That is what reproof does. It brings conviction in people's lives. It convinces them of their lost condition, and it can change them. The Holy Spirit can use it to change them. And so the prosecution, the character in it, reprove them. And then the corruption of the prosecution is in verse 12, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. See, evil needs to be rebuked and reproved. It doesn't need to be gone. Even if we just refuse to go along with it, it needs to be reproved. But the thing is, it's really too vile to be the topic of general conversation. You realize that? God never intended on us to always talk about the vileness and the juicy details of sin. Now, it doesn't mean preachers shouldn't preach against sin. We should preach against it. We ought to. But, you know, some preachers, they revel in it. They go into such detail, and you know what that can actually do? That can actually have the opposite effect and actually excite curiosities and excite things like that. Whenever it's almost like they glory in sin. To preach against sin, but we have to be very careful. See, the temptation of our flesh is to want all the juicy details of any given situation. You know, the truth is, whenever you hear about some sin in somebody's life, be it in another church member or some family or something like that, the temptation is, say you have a man and woman, and one of them's had an affair on the other one or something like that. So one of them's running around on the other one. It's all just a big mess in their family, or something crazy is going on in the family. Our flesh, the temptation of our flesh is to want to know all the details, to want to know everything, to want to know all. And you know what really we should do as God's people? We really should reject that. We really should reject the temptation to know all the juicy details of sin. You want to know why? Because it's vile. I want to show you a verse over here in Romans 16, and I'm going to close. But I always go back to this verse. This verse is also a great verse for parents to this command here. It's a great command for parents in regard to protecting and sheltering our children. Look at what he said here. He said in verse 19, Romans 16, verse 19, Paul said, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf." Now look at this. "But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." He said, when it comes to things that are good, he said, "I want you to be wise in that stuff. I want you to know all the Bible you can know. I want you to know all the gospel songs you can know. I want you to know every hymn you can know. I want you to know every good person you can know. I want you to know every good preacher you can know. I want you to know every good church, all the good things that you can know. I want you to know everything you can know and be so wise concerning the Lord Jesus. Everything about Jesus, I want you to know all that. So I want you to be wise and that stuff." He said, but when it comes to evil, he said, "I have you very simple." In other words, the less you know about evil, the better. The less you know, the better. The devil tells young people, you need to go out and experience this stuff. You need to go experience it and then decide. No, the best you can do is stay as far away from it as possible. The best you can do is stay as far away and know as little as possible, and you'll come out way ahead in the end. But see, the temptation of our flesh is to want to know all the juicy details concerning evil. And truth is, we should reject that. That's it. And it is a shame. It is a shame. And that's why it's not a shame now, because it's so out in the open. But the less we can know, the better. He said it's a shame to even speak of those things that they do in secret, done of them. Who's them? Those that are living in darkness. Done of them in secret. And so in closing, verse 13 says, "All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." And so light exposes sin. And it exposes sin that others might be saved. That's really, I mean, the Lord's worth it. I mean, He's worthy. We owe it to Him to walk as children of light, but we owe it to the lost world to walk as children of light. Their souls hang in the balance. And that's why no one ever gets saved by us blending in. No one will ever get saved by us blending in. Because you know what it takes? It takes light. It takes light in the darkness. And whenever we turn, when we dim the light in our life, it doesn't have an effect. There's no reproof in that. There's no light shining in the eyes of the world. And so their souls are hanging in the balance. May God help us to walk as children of light. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for helping us with the word tonight. I pray that you'll take it and use it. Help us to apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, to walk as children of light. You've been so good to us. Lord, you've blessed us. You've taken us out of darkness. And Lord, you, when we were darkness, when we embodied darkness, Lord, you took us out of that. And Lord, you made us new creatures in Christ. Lord, you made us light in the Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for saving us. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing it is to be a child of God. Truly, there is nothing better than being an old-time Christian. Lord, I thank you for the difference you've made in my life. And Lord, there is no glory that I can claim of myself. Lord, those of us that are saved tonight, there's no glory we could claim in ourselves. Lord, we are what we are by the grace of God. And Lord, truly, you've saved us from our sin. And Lord, I thank you for the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we're able, Lord, to walk as children of light. Lord, we're able to do things that we used to couldn't do. Lord, we've got liberty in our life that we used to not have. Lord, to live for you that we used to not have. And I thank you so much. And Lord, being all that you've done, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to walk as children of light. Lord, being all the souls out there, Lord, that are hanging in the balance. Lord, their eternity is hanging in the balance. I pray that you'd help us to be the light in this world that you'd have us to be. Lord, that we might save some. Lord, that some might see the light of the gospel and be born again. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now as we leave this place. Lord, I pray that your will be done in our lives. Bless us as we come back this Lord's Day. Prepare our hearts for what you want to do. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.